to the CPG Scoop. We are thrilled to be here. I am Risa Crandall.
And I'm Jennifer Silverberg.
And we are thrilled to have Elizabeth here as the Chief Communications Officer of That's It, one of our favorite products in our family, that is for sure. And we're learning about some of the new ones, which we hope to share with everyone today. So Elizabeth, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Well, we are thrilled. We are thrilled. We love your products and we are excited to share with our community as far as your journey. And so we always like to start off and having you introduce yourself, tell everybody a little bit about you and your career journey and what your current role is all about.
Sure. Yeah, thanks. So I actually started my career back in advertising as a copywriter. From there, I started working at a PR firm called Edelman in 2001 when online marketing was just getting started. I mean, we were convincing clients at that time that they really needed to have a website and that maybe they should dabble with email marketing or something like that. I was there for 18 years. So I got to bring clients on to start their social media presence on Facebook and MySpace and things like that, working on influencer marketing. And eventually I led the paid media team there. Some of my favorite brands I worked with at Edelman were, I call them beta brands because they really do want to be the first to do something and they don't care if there's a case study that someone else did it and it worked out really well. So brands like Lagunitas Beer and Ben and Jerry's, I ran that business for 4 years. I'm very proud of doing that. And then flash forward in June of 2020, I decided I wanted to shift to the brand side. And so I started as the VP of marketing and eventually CMO at That's It. It was June of 2020. So that's right in the thick of the pandemic. So not a challenge at all. Never been on the brand side. So let's work for a food brand when no one's in the grocery store. That was kind of a very fun challenge. But my digital marketing expertise really played a really great role at that time. So we already had a great business on Amazon, but we leaned into things like implementing firework technology on our website for video shopping. We were also one of the first CPG brands to get into Instacart. Mm-hmm. And so that really helped us even out the playing field of our digital shelf space. And so that really served us well. This past year, I made a decision to pivot my role to Chief Communications Officer to lead PR and really tap back into my love of copywriting and storytelling that I learned from my Edelman days. Especially with a brand that is as simple as ours, there's actually countless ways and countless stories that we can tell that haven't been told yet.
I bet. That's nice.
Yeah, such an interesting thing to go from marketing to PR. Do you see PR as a subset of marketing or marketing as a subset of PR or something completely different?
I'm going to quote the founder of Edelman, Dan Edelman. The simplest way that he would describe it is marketing pays for the story, PR earns the story. I think there's a lot of gray area there in between, but I think that marketing can lead the way and PR can lead the way, depending on what it is that you're doing, whether you're promoting something or evolving something. So I don't really think there's a chicken and the egg. I think that the story can start anywhere and any different division can lead it.
Yeah. And they work so nicely hand in hand, right? They're both critically important, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep. So getting to our starter big question is, if you were going to use one word to describe your approach to CPG marketing, what would that word or couple words be?
Those one word questions are always so tough because I have many words. I like to hyphenate words. I wanted to say adaptable, but it really comes down to, I'm going to say trust. consumers are no longer fiercely loyal to any one brand in a sea of infinite choices, especially when inflation is at an all-time high. Shrinkflation is happening. Consumers are looking for ways to save money, and they're getting really resourceful on how to find these solutions. So, and it's not just in retail or on a website or Amazon. Like, people are using TikTok as a search engine now, and they want to find real people to tell them what their honest opinions are of different products and services. I like to talk about TikTok a lot because, you know, everyone talks about influencer marketing, but there's a new crop of influencers that sprouted out probably about 2 years ago called the de-influencers. And, you know, they're really calling out brands about, you know, if something is not transparent or honest, they will call it out quickly. The worst feeling a consumer can have is if they've been deceived or misled by a product or service that they're spending their really hard-earned money on.
Right. That's an interesting point of view, is to think about, it's important to think about the positives that creators and influencers could bring, but also what these de-influencers are talking about to put doubt into consumers' minds, right? And then it's the role of the brands to be able to think about, and in PR especially too, how to position what's being said so that it comes back around to that customer feeling confident and the trust, like you said.
Yeah, and this is really important for a brand like ours too, that is free of the top 12 food allergens as well. So, right. You know, when it comes to food, it's so important to think about food allergies, that this impacts 85 million Americans, which is 1 in 8 kids. Wow. And that number is only growing. So when it comes to trust, it can be a life or death situation. So that's something we take very seriously.
Yeah. No, it's important to have that position.
Yeah, because I've always kind of believed when you set the bar higher, you set the bar higher for you too. And so you set the bar higher for the industry, you set the bar higher for your products. And so it puts you at a more vulnerable place with the influencers as well, for sure. So the fact that you use trust as one of your key words is something, and we've had a lot of people kind of pointing at trust as maybe one of the primary currencies in the coming year with so much going around this. That's an important space for you guys to own.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. And when you look at the CPG landscape out there, Elizabeth, what do you think that, whether they be big companies, small companies, it's all, you know, in the same vein as far as what do they need to do better to respond to consumers' behaviors and how they've changed over the last few years? What do you think that, you know, you're doing well, you know, certainly at That's It, but what do you see that the other CPGs could really spark to evolve to that consumer being at the center of the equation?
Sure. It's adjacent to trust, and I would say it's transparency, right? Mm-hmm. So this needs to happen on all sides of the CPG industry, not just with brands. But, you know, for brands in the food space, you know, this is everything from, you know, product claims or labeling practices, you know, vague terms that you would see on a product like this is healthy or this is natural or this has natural flavors, whatever that means. And this translates into social media advertising. So if you look at the advertising you see come through your feed on Facebook or Instagram, if you look at the comments, the comments are where the gold is. These consumers are asking questions like, if you don't have sugar, what is actually in it? Is this non-GMO? Is this organic? Is this really what it says it's going to do? So these brands need to be completely transparent. They just can't put something flashy and, you know, make all of these different claims and expect a consumer to move forward with it. One thing I'm proud of with That's It is that our packaging has the same ingredients on the front of the packaging as it does on the back. So we call ourselves snacks without secrets.
I love that.
You think about from a digital retail perspective, you know, being more these platforms like Instacart and DoorDash, I think they're going to have to be more transparent with their data and showing incrementality. So, you know, thinking about getting store level data, and the IAB is even firming up data disclosure requirements right now. I think a company that's doing a great job with transparency is Aisle. I don't know if you've talked to them before, but consumers can text in their receipts and get deals via SMS. Mm-hmm. And from a brand perspective, brands get the store level data and who's buying what, and basket data as well. So I think those types of platforms are going to be doing really well in the coming year.
That's interesting. Yeah, I have to look into them. I'm not as familiar with them.
Yeah, the guy that's the CEO and founder, his name is Tiffin, and he started as the head of growth at Super Coffee. So very interesting business and very interesting person.
That's great.
Very cool. He gave us a scoop. So thank you. So it's always helpful if people can learn from others, right? So wondering if you have any lessons that you guys have learned in the last year or two that you would like to share, and how you learned that maybe.
So we have, you know, we've probably learned over the last few years that the simplest message is oftentimes the best message. As marketers, we're always trying to find the most unique and creative approach that's never been done before. But what we've heard directly from our own consumers is that they're looking for simple solutions to make their lives healthier and more convenient. For National Nutrition Month in March here, we just released a healthy snacking report. Mm. And what we did was we surveyed two distinct groups. We surveyed consumers and our own registered dietitian program called the Nutrition Fam. We work with about 1,300 nutrition professionals on a regular basis. And what we found from the survey data is the number one trend that both groups agreed on was getting more fruits and vegetables in their daily diet. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you look at all of the new diets that are happening and the new superfoods and the new pills and powders, and it came down to the basics. And we were thrilled to find that out because I don't know if you know how our company got started, but our CEO and founder, Dr. Lior Lewenstein, was a medical doctor. And he learned that only a third of Americans are getting their daily servings of fruit and vegetables. And so he thought, you know, what if he could pivot his career from prescriptive medicine to using food as medicine instead? So he went to business school and started That's It in farmers markets in Los Angeles in 2012. So we're really excited that this is also what consumers are looking for. And, you know, in the last year alone, we calculated that we delivered the equivalent of 150 million servings of fruit globally. So we're on a mission to get to 200 this year and keep things simple.
That's
wow.
Great.
Yeah, get to those big round numbers.
Yeah. Good to be having that plan forward. And, you know, there is so much more information out there to the consumer that they're looking for, you know, cleaner foods. They're looking for products that are healthier. They're looking for things, like you said, that are tasty and convenient, but meet the other criteria is critically important.
Yeah. And just from, you know, and just to, you know, show you what consumers are doing with our brand that we have no control over is some of our best UGC comes from consumers reading the label saying, that's it, that's it, that's it, that's it. Okay. And they do this whole who's on first type of joke with our product. And those are that's the content that's going viral. It's just that really simple message. So I think a lot of brands across the board are trying to overcomplicate things. Right. And consumers just want you to be candid and straight up and transparent and just tell you the truth.
I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, the brand name is actually what the consumers are saying about it. That's genius. Yeah. Kind of genius. Yeah.
That's and it's so simple, but yet so meaningful, right? It's Powerful, very, very exciting. And when you think about 2024, which we're now wrapping up month two already, which is wild, what are some interesting and disruptive and new things that you'll be doing with the brands? Are there new flavors or any new partnerships or any new sponsorships that you could share for this year? Give us the scoop.
Sure. So, well, 2024, just looking at it big picture, it's going to be a crazy year with AI reaching its tipping point. Mm-hmm. And let's throw an election into the mix at the same time. So from a marketing perspective, we're going to be listening a lot more. It's going to be very crowded. It's going to be a lot, very noisy. We're going to have to think about not just what we say, but when we don't say anything at all, right? So that's something we're going to be paying attention to. As far as our products, we have some new stuff coming out that I'm so excited about. We just launched a new energy line. Mm. So we have coffee energy bars that are mocha, vanilla, and double espresso flavor. They're made with just 4 to 5 clean ingredients. They're 100% organic. They pack the same amount of coffee that you caffeine that you would get in a cup of coffee or a couple shots of espresso. And it's just caffeine from single origin Ethiopian coffee beans. No chemicals, no nothing. So, and they're very delicious, by the way. And then the most amazing product that everyone should try is our dark chocolate espresso truffles. So we already have dark chocolate truffles in fruit flavors. So this is combining the goodness of that vegan chocolate with only 1 gram of sugar in it with the energy component of the coffee. So it'll wake you up and it will be absolutely delicious. So we're excited about those things. And you can find those products in Thrive Market right now too.
That's great. They sound delicious. I'm a coffee person and a chocolate person, so you can't go wrong.
Yep. And I try to always remember chocolate or cacao, I guess, is a fruit.
We are 60% cacao.
Wow, that's great.
I consider that fruit.
Yes.
You know, but I try, and I remember tomatoes are fruit and all these cool things. So there's, thank you for all that you're doing to help get more of that into our space. And by the way, just total aside, I was looking at your ingredients right before we jumped on here, and I noticed that the number one ingredient in that particular thing was dates. So yes, you're getting a lot of fruit in there as well, which is fantastic.
Yeah. So even with our coffee line, we are still getting your daily servings of fruit in. We are fruit forward with every single one of our products.
That's huge, great.
So that's very cool. All right. So 2024, if you are going to pull out your crystal ball and say, you know, here's my prediction for what's going to happen, because we're all acknowledging, like you said, it's this year, man. You got the Olympics, you have the election, you have AI, you have so many moving parts. What do you expect to see or expect to happen from what you can tell?
My only prediction is that I can't predict anything, but I have a hope and dream for 2024. Wow. And that is that we experience a renaissance of creativity and levity and humor that you often see, you know, when the world is highly stressful or something is happening, you see, you know, music is always the best when the world is going through hardships. So I'm hoping that marketing gets fun again. I personally would like to see jingles come back, you know, I would like to see some humor happening. So that is my hope and dream. And hopefully that will come true.
Where did jingles go, do you think?
I don't know, but I can still remember some from, you know, from the 80s and 90s, and then they just kind of went away. So let's bring them back.
I think Nike did it with the whole just do it, and it became like a catchphrase world instead of a jingle world.
Yeah, it went from jingles to taglines, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But but you're right. They're missing. They're missing.
They are. In
yeah.
They're fun and they're memorable. You know, they really are. I mean, we sing jingles from many years ago because they stay with us and they have a nice, you know, way to, you know, think about the brand in a positive way. And
yeah, I mean, and we remembered them from watching television and listening to the radio. And today there's countless places to have the element of sound everywhere, right? Yeah. You know, whether it's on social or a podcast or anywhere else.
Absolutely. Let's bring it back. I'm on board.
Where's the That's It jingle?
Oh, you know, I try to, I try, but you know, they shut me down on that, but you know, we'll see. We'll try to bring it back.
I'll tell you what, you come up with one and we'll help you seed it out there, and suddenly it'll be everywhere on TikTok.
Okay.
And
deal.
We'll reference
we'll make it go viral.
Today. It started today.
Exactly. I love it. It really is, kind of a lost art format that we're not seeing as much in marketing. So I agree. Let's bring it back. But even when going back to what you were saying, as far as the name of the brand is what consumers feel, is what the brand stands for. So that is the most honest way and trustworthy way for a brand to grow. And it sounds like this year, especially with some new flavors and with energy, there's a great opportunity for the brand to have some different avenues, from fruit to fig to date to chocolate to coffee. I mean, there's something for everyone to try and then become a loyal shopper. So I'm excited to see where the brands are going to go. And when we started off, we talked about how we started the CPG Scoop as a way to connect more people together and share ideas. And because, you know, catching up for a casual cup of tea or a salad is less frequent since we do so much by Zoom and different formats. So we always like to have these discussions be something that, if someone was joining our conversation, they would feel really comfortable. And Elizabeth, you definitely have done that for sure. And we always like to kind of summarize and wrap too, as far as like, what do you do to keep your life positive and energetic and forward going in your life, whether it was something you picked up during COVID time? Obviously you started a new career during COVID time, but what else did you do to keep your life really focused on the things that matter to you? And what do you continue to do as you, you know, think about your days and your weeks?
Well, I mean, at my core, creativity is what really drives me. I'm much more art than I am science, which is probably why I like PR so much. In my free time, I am a voiceover artist, and I'm also a classically trained musician. So I sing, thus me wanting the jingles to come back. I sing and I play violin and viola. So, you know, as my role as, I guess, the chief storyteller, I get to infuse that element of creativity into everything I do, and it absolutely energizes me.
That's great. I love that.
Wow. Do you still sing?
Just for fun.
Okay. And violin and viola. Violin and viola. That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I started out playing in orchestras, and then I played in some bands, and then I realized you can't really play the clubs as a senior marketer and still make it to work bright and early and chipper in the morning. So it's a hobby that I absolutely love.
That's great. Well, it's good to have those things.
It is. And it's something, it's interesting as we look back at our list of guests, so many have something like that they hold on to, that say, you know, whether it's an artistic or I guess, something like meditation or running or something like that, something that is very, very different from the marketing and PR and CPG world is. It's almost like the yin, I guess, to the yang of our business. So
what's interesting, one of the reasons I got so passionate about social media when it first took off was my roots of being a musician. And I saw all of these emerging bands pop up on social with no money at all.
Right.
And so I thought, well, if they have no money and they just got famous, imagine if we took a brand and we put it there, what could happen? So one of the first brands I put onto an old social media platform called MySpace was Axe, Unilever's Axe body spray.
Oh,
and
wow.
And that was game changing.
Ah, love it.
That is everywhere.
To be resourceful like that, you know, to be resourceful and think, you know, think ahead of things, which it sounds like you've done so successfully throughout your career.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. This has been a really fantastic session of this session. Do we have sessions? Really, I don't know. This has been a successful scoop. So thank you, Elizabeth, so much for taking the time to share what you've learned with us. This, I think a lot of people will be taking a lot from this today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's my pleasure.
Yeah, I know. It was very, gave us a lot of good things to think about. And that's exactly what the Scoop is here to do. So it was delightful to meet you. Congratulations on all the success. It's going to be an exciting 2024. And keep your musical side going, because that's another element to keep us all balanced. And we appreciate everybody for listening to the CPG Scoop. And we'll see you all, or hear, talk to you all, I guess would be better, next time. So thank you, everyone.